Vrindavan Mahima Amrita. Bhagavad Gita has 700 verses glorifying the Mathura, talks about everything. Five tattvas are there. And in 700 verses, all five tattvas can be understood in a summary way. It's called Gita Upanishad. Upanishads are summaries of the teachings of the Shrutis. So the of all the Upanishads, the Gita, that song, when the Upanishads get together and sing, what comes out of their mouths altogether? There's 108 major Upanishads. When all the Upanishads stand together and sing, what comes out is Geet. Geet means song. What comes out, they sing it. They sing all in harmony. They all sing together. All the Upanishads, Isa Upanishad, and this Upanishad, Katha Upanishad, and Shvetashvatara Upanishad. There's so many, 108 major ones, and there's additional ones. And all the personified Upanishads, when they stand and sing together, what is the song that comes out? Tehino Shvinyata Dehi. Komaram Yovanam Jarata Tati Hantara Praptira. What is the song that comes out? Sarva Dharman Pritya. So therefore Bhagavad Gita, which is Krishna summarizing all the Upanishads in a beautiful song, he sings this whole Upanishad in 700 verses. So it's called Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita. It's Krishna's song. And all the personified Upanishads, they sing Krishna's song when they get together. Krishna's number one hit song. But Vrindavanas Thakur, he's glorifying one aspect of Krishna's total expanse of energies, Vrindavan, Brajadam. And he's speaking 1200 verses to glorify that one aspect. So imagine how deep Vrindavan is. Arjuna, when Krishna is teaching Arjuna the Bhagavad Gita, he had to go to such an extent to show the Virata Rupa. He had to show the Virata Rupa just to explain some of the teachings and how unlimitedly expansive that is. Krishna showed him thousands of mouths and thousands of planets and stars and everything in one place. Then he got some idea of the five tattvas. Krishna went to a lot of trouble just to teach five tattvas. And Vrindavan is millions of times more than all those five tattvas. So we may think, well, how is it he's speaking 1200 verses to glorify Vrindavan? Like, Vrindavan is the highest of all tattvas, the completion of all tattvas. Everything is in Vrindavan. That's why Krishna says, after showing the Virata Rupam, he shows the Virata Rupam and his forearm form and his two-arm form. And he tells everything about karma and jnana and bhakti. Everything about the trigunas and prakriti and Ishvara and jiva and kala and karma. Then he finally says, well, whatever I told you, it's insignificant. Everything I told you fits into one particle of one piece of dust in one place known as Braj. So all the knowledge, I showed you the Virata Rupa, I showed you all the universes and all the knowledge, forget it. Just throw it away. I told you all about Varna Dharma and Ashram Dharma, forget it. Forget your Sannyas Dharma, forget your Kshatriya Dharma, forget your Ashram Dharma and your Kula Dharma and all your Dharmas, forget it. Go to Braj. Sarva Dharman Prityaja Mamekam Sharanam Braj. Braj means go and means Vrindavan. So there, Krishna himself is proving in Bhagavad Gita how unlimited is the tattva of Vrindavan. How unlimited is the expanse of Vrindavan. It's far greater than the Virata Rupa and far greater than the Pancha Tattva of the Bhagavad Gita. And far greater than all the Upanishads and far greater than the Gita Upanishad Bhagavad Gita. This is Vrindavan. Mahimamrita, the nectar glories of Vrindavan. So therefore we think, so many verses about Vrindavan, I'm tired. Another one? We haven't realized one. That's why Krishna keeps speaking. He keeps speaking 700 verses, hoping that Arjuna will realize one. And finally he says, you've heard? Have you heard me? Are you listening? Tatrino. Are you hearing me? Yeah, but keep speaking. And finally he winds up. He says, listen, I've had enough. And after 40 minutes or so, he said, listen, this is a long class. It's time for prasadam now. Class is over at 9 o'clock. It's a 45-minute class. Temple commander told me to end the class on time. So he spoke to Bhagavad Gita in 45 minutes. And they said, listen, just be dear to me and surrender. That's all. That's what love means. Be dear to your beloved and surrender. Bas. That's the sum and substance of all the Upanishads. When all the Upanishads get together and sing, what comes out? The Gita. The Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita. And what do they sing? Become dear, Vishnu Priya, Krishna Priya, and surrender. Bas. That's it. Bhagavad Gita seminar over. Then the next question that people raise, how to become dear to Krishna? How to, no to, when to, why to. So this is the next verse, 59. Shirada Murli Daro Guna Nidhi Srimat Padam Varu Bruha Twan Dwaineva Sudha Mudakar Maha Madhurya Nishyandina Ascharyut Tula Sokumarya Paramavyatyanta Kotuhalad Yasyam Sancharata Sadadivas Tam Brindavana Niyavanyam. Sri Vrindavan is the supreme shelter of all matchless beauty. Vrindavan is marked with the lotus seat of Radha Muralidhara. Where oceans of transcendental qualities, guna nidhi, and Srimad Padam Boruha. Vrindavan bestows sweet ecstatic love that defeats even nectar. Just reside eternally in that Vrindavan. Sad Adivas, like Adivas Kirtan. And they have Tirubhava, Sad Goswami's 3-day function. The first day is called the Adivas function. There's 24-hour kirtan. And during that 24-hour kandanam, they invite all the different 64 mahantas of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, the 64 mahants, Ashtakavirajas, the Sad Goswamis, Panchatattva, Dwadasa Gopal, and so many others, all add up to 64. And they're invited to attend that function. And the next day there's puja and pat at the samadhi and mahima, glorification at Vaishnava. Then the third day there's shobhayatra with a painting of that Vaishnava on a sometimes a very elaborate carriage or jeep or some type of palanquin and carried all around Vrindavan visiting the major temples and with Nagar Kirtan, all the Vaishnavas. Then there's Vaishnava Seva, Prasad Seva. That's the usual. Rupa Goswami Tirubhava, Jiva Goswami Tirubhava, Sanatan Goswami, 3-day function. This is a tradition everywhere. Gaudiya Sampradaya. Tirubhava. Avibhava, there's nothing. Tirubhava, 3 days. So this is Radha Murli Daro Guna Nidhi Srimat Padam Bhujo Twandwe Naiva Sudha Mudakar Mahamadurya Nishnanta. The second translation here we can read. We're being begged by the author. He's saying, please always reside in Brajadham, where there are beautiful lotus flowers, where you'll find the beautiful lotus flowers of their feet. From the lotus flowers of the divine couple's feet flows a sweetness that eclipses the greatest nectar. O Sudha Mudakara Mahamadurya Nisyandina. Sudha means nectar. Mudakara Mahamadhurya, the greatest Mahamadhurya, Nisyandina must mean eclipse. Nishadin. Sura Mudakara Muda. Sri Radha Muralidhara, who are the two treasure houses of transcendental virtues. Nidhi means treasure house. Guna means qualities, attributes, or virtues. And who are wonderfully and incomparably useful and delicate, they eagerly walk there. So Kumarya, Ascharya Atula. Atula means no comparison. Atul. There's no comparison to their wondrous forms, Ascharya, amazing, wonderful forms. So Kumarya, so tender, so useful. That divine couple is wandering, Radha Muralidhara wandering in that Vrindavan, emanating a sweetness that eclipses the greatest nectar. Somaras and any kind of amrit and nectar becomes nothing if one experiences a drop of the sweetness of Radha Muralidhara. The author is proclaiming that to the world. And he's experiencing that. He's living in Vrindavan at Kaliyadaha, Prabhananda Saraswati, eternally in his bhajan form, bhajan kuti. And he's begging everyone, please come. Always stay here. Stay here life after life until you experience the sweetness. May take some lifetimes. We want the sweetest thing right now. We say we want prema, we want transcendental blissful service of Radha and Krishna. But we also want so many other things. That's the problem. That one want is positive, progressive, and helpful. That one desire, spiritual aspiration. But bahushaka nantyascha. What is it? Vyavasyatmika buddhir. Ekehakura nandana. Our mind is branched in many directions because of our material desires. So that's difficult to taste that sweetness. Because he's saying, please reside in the land of Vrindavan. It's beautiful. And what is there? You'll find lotus flowers. What kind of lotus flowers? The feet of Radha Muralidhara. These lotus flowers. So sweet, so tender, so fragrant, so beautiful. And they're oozing nectar of love. And what are those? And those lotus flowers, because lotus flowers give some nectar, some honey that the bees come and collect. And from their lotus flower feet flows a sweetness that's so sweet it's greater than the greatest nectars. And there are guna nidhi. Sri Radha Muralidharo Guna Radha. Guna nidhi. Nidhi means treasure house, jewel, or ocean. So those lotus feet are in Vrindavan. And they're emanating such sweetness. And he's begging us, please. He says, Sat Sadadi Nivas. Yasyam Sansharata Sadadi Nivas Tam Vrindavana Vrindavana Niyavanam. Vrindavan Niyavanim. It's a word he often uses to describe Vrindavan. Niyavanim. We were mentioning, and he's begging us, the author says, please reside here, always reside in the land of Vrindavan, Sad Arivas. And he's telling us that if you reside here, as I'm residing here, you'll experience such sweetness. But it may take a few lifetimes. Every one of us has lived before, and so many befores, before, and before. And after, we will live so many more times. But these bhakti sanskaras are going into our chitta by this hearing process, bhakti bhajan. And when the mood of separation becomes very strong, then the distance becomes very short. But to develop that mood of separation, it's not so easy. That we have to pray for. The mood of separation, viraha, viprolamba. In one place in all Prabhupada's books, he mentions the term viprolamba seva. And that's the essence of Raghunuga Bhajan. You can see on a folio. Type up viprolamba seva. And one mention, you'll find that. And for the hawk-like reader who has eyes like a hawk, who can see a little rabbit from, hawk is like an eagle type bird, hawk, different type. They can see a little rat or whatever on the ground from a few miles away, and they fly down and have lunch. Krishna gave them that facility. So they'll see that viprolamba seva and say, ah, yes. Gurudev is saying there. Like someone might say, where can I find my treasure? Go there, and they'll point. They'll say there. So in Krishna book, delivery of the message of Krishna to the gopis. That's Brahma Gita, chapter 47 must be. Delivery, Krishna book, entitled Delivery of the Message of Lord Krishna to the Gopis by Uddhava. And Krishna came in the form of bumblebee, whom Radharani addressed in her Chitra Jalpa and Udgurna, her madness and Pralap, and her madness of Divyonmad Mahabhav. But in some commentaries on some of those verses, Prabhupada is explaining, what does he say exactly? This is the method of worship taught by Sri Viprolamba Seva is the method of worship taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis have taught the worship of Radha and Krishna and the mood of the gopis separation. It actually, another place in one purport, maybe in Krishna book, Prabhupada said, is the duty of the spiritual masters to train their disciples in a mood of separation. We were reflecting on this principle separation simultaneously to why we're speaking. And we became a little bit disturbed internally because assuming it's correct, and of course we're not saying this for any particular ulterior motive, but we're trying to reveal this and share this to encourage all the listeners and sincere sadhakas that it's not an easy game. It's not an easy ball game. That we have to practice very, very seriously. And in other words, as they say, get serious. Wake up, jeev jago. Get with it. Stop oversleeping. Stop talking prajalpa. Stop wasting time. Newspapers, magazines, internet surfing, etc. And deeply study the books and chant with Sharanagati. One acharya was asked by one kirtan leader, famous kirtan leader of ISKCON, asked one Gaudiya Vaishnava sannyasi acharya, he said, what is the mood that we should have? What should we meditate on when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? So one might think that the acharya would say, oh, meditate on Astagali Leela, which is easier said than done, first of all, because you don't meditate on the Leela. The Leela comes to you and takes you in it. You can try to think about it. But what was his answer after doing bhajan for 70 years, 2 lakhs a day, japa for 70 years in this life? And he said, you should meditate on Sharanagati. You're chanting, the mood, the only thing you should meditate on and reflect on and think about is Sharanagati. Surrendering to the name. Of course, Sharanagati has six aspects. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam, rakshishya titi vishvaso, govtra trevaranam tada. Atma nikshepa karpanye sadvida sharanagati. Sadvida sharanagati. There are six forms of sharanagati or surrender to the Lord. So the Lord means the holy name. So he's basically saying you should chant the holy name and kirtan with a mood of surrender. And then he went on to explain what happens. He said, generally when people are in kirtan, their minds are very nice explanation. He said, generally when people are engaged in chanting in kirtan or leading kirtan, their minds are elsewhere. They have to grab their minds. Their minds are running here and there. They're not really hearing the holy name. They're not fixing. They're not surrendering to that sound vibration. But what's happening is all the listeners in the audience, all the Kanishas and Madhyams or whoever they are, they're going crazy. Why hasn't he changed the tune? Why hasn't he changed the tal? Why hasn't he changed the beat? Why? Because their minds are going crazy. Why? Because their minds are independent. The minds refusing to surrender to the holy name. Change the tune. And the whole room, three quarters of the people in the room are vibrating in their mind. Change the tune. Change the tune. Change the tune. It's not like these televisions where you have something in your hand. What's it called? Remote control? Called remote control? You have something in your hand, remote control. And we didn't have that when I grew up on the TV. Didn't have a TV at the time. But you hold that in your hand. And go, oh, I don't like this show. Doing, 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 doing. You look at 200 shows in 20 minutes or 10 minutes. Da, 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 da. So that's our mind. Our mind wants 200 objects every 5 minutes. So this statement was given 30 years ago, this idea about Sharanagati should be the meditation behind chanting kirtan, either leading or following. And it was as applicable then as it is now. Watch the mind. See how it jumps like a monkey. Doesn't he know any other tune? This is such a boring tune. I know this tune. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Prabhupada did the same thing in New York. And then people would write in the newspaper, Swamiji comes with hypnotic chant. Swamiji introduces hypnotic chant to the hippies. No, was it? They had all these articles in newspapers. Swami hypnotizes the hippies, you know, because the HH, you know. They gather together and he utters some cantations, some hypnotic mantras, and people move their heads back and forth, and pretty soon they're all in a trance. And then he speaks something from Bhagavad Gita. You're not the body. Surrender to Guru. Love God. Go back to Godhead. And they, after class, and he again brainwashes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then he brainwashes them to open up their minds. Then he fills it with all this bogus philosophy. Then he chants Hare Krishna again to seal their minds. Lock it in there. He hypnotizes them. This is what the demons would write about Prabhupada's preaching in New York in the 70s. We saw it in the newspaper, heard it on the TV. We would all laugh. Yeah, that's right. We're all hypnotized. You have a choice. Either be hypnotized by Prabhupada or be hypnotized by Maya. Maya will hypnotize you and take you to hell. Prabhupada will hypnotize you and take you to heaven, the highest heaven, Goloka Vrindavan. So I was a little disturbed when I was hearing about how when one comes to Vrindavan, Prabhupada Saraswati is saying it flows with sweetness that eclipses the greatest nectar, and that's available here. And I was saying it may take a few lifetimes, and when I said that, I thought about my own lifetimes, because apparently it's said the seers of the past have said that this one has lived here before. We've all lived here before in this world, but we lived before in Vrindavan and this very place of Govardhan. But somehow we didn't drink enough of that sweet ras to leave this place and go to that domain, and then we appeared in America. Drink some kind of neem ras, the bitter ras of the neem tree, and again to Vrindavan, and again try to surrender, and again try to get serious, and again try to become fully dedicated, and again try to get some full experience of the sweetness of Radha Muralidhara's Guna Nidhi, their treasure house of attributes at their lotus feet. Then maybe we'll come again and again, who can say? It's not so easy. Well, at least we should start. That's why I'm trying to encourage anyone that can to start now. Start getting a taste for Vrindavan. Surrender. Vrindavan is Tapu Bhumi. It's called Tapu Bhumi. And it's called Siddhabhumi. Siddhabhumi, it's the land of perfection. Either you've already done your tapa in other places. Mayapur Navadvipa is called Sadhana Bhumi. Mayapur Navadvipa is called Sadhana Bhumi, the place of sadhan. And Vrindavan is called Siddha Bhumi, the place of siddhas. Or it's called Tapa Bhumi. Because those who have realized the fruit of their tapa, then they've attained siddhi, and they take shelter in Vrindavan. So if one has moved to Vrindavan, and he's not a siddha from doing sadhana in Mayapur, and he hasn't performed sufficient tapasya, then he should get serious. Prabhupada told in the early days when devotees, Gurudas and Yamuna and other devotees, Grihasthas, were coming to Vrindavan, he's writing there. He said, Vrindavan is for the Goswamis. Vrindavan is for Goswamis. And I'm bringing my Grihasthas here to serve Radhasham in the Mandir. And to serve Radha and Krishna Vrindavan. It's a great fortune for them. But even other Grihasthas, they must live here like Goswamis. It's right there. So I echo the same feeling and instruction. We should live here like Goswamis. Most people do. If you look at the Grihasthas, the Vrijvasi Grihasthas who live in Brajabhumi, they all live like Goswamis. You ever see how they eat? They eat one or two, you know, low-key potato chapati. Some kind of cheap dal, split yellow dal. Even the people have money, even the Brahmins and Vaishyas have money, the Vaniyas in Vrindavan, they eat very simply. They don't eat lavishly. Very simple, plain food, like Goswamis. And their houses, everything is so simple. You ever see in Vrindavan? So simple. So it doesn't happen overnight, but we shouldn't just bring our lavish swarga standard to Vrindavan. Text 60. Mahachintaratna prachamaya kurpadi valitam sukarpura shode sukusama parigayas chanishchitam shadorminam nirmulan Kara Sadkrit Sparshna Lavam Bhavabdim Sri Vrindavana Bhuvam Ita Sandhara Sukham. Vrindavan is decorated with many raised platforms, bedecked with jewels and smeared with camphor powder and pollen. Just by touching the land of Vrindavan, one's lamentation, one's illusion, old age, death, hunger and thirst are vanquished. How does that happen? You just touch Vrindavan and there's no old age, there's no death, there's no illusion, there's no lamentation. As you touch it and don't give up the touch, then you die here and get liberated. And there's no death. Soul never dies. There's no illusion. The illusion is when you leave Vrindavan. You stay in Vrindavan, there's no illusion. You stay in Vrindavan, there's no lamentation. When you leave, you're lamenting, then you leave. You're lamenting for Bombay or Delhi, then you leave. So you're attached to Vrindavan, automatically lamentation for other things you lost or gave up or so-called miss disappears. The illusion that there's anything more than Vrindavan disappears. And old age disappears and death disappears because you live in your Siddhadeya. Living in Vrindavan means living in your Siddhadeya. Siddhadeya means your Sevadeha. Living in Vrindavan means engaged in Seva and the Bhava of Seva. So you may have an external material body, but it's Siddhadeya as long as you're engaged in service of Krishna. And you give up this useless body in Vrindavan and get your original Siddhadeya and continue your service. Hunger and thirst are vanquished. A real hunger and thirst are for satisfaction, heart's fulfillment. It doesn't come from Ahara, Nidra, Maitun, or Bhayam. People have so much ahara, nidra, maituna, and vayam, but still they're thirsty and still they're hungry. Because the heart is not in harmony with the soul or connected with Krishna. Therefore, just take shelter, Vrindavan, and cross the ocean of material existence. Bhavabdim Sri Vrindavana Bhuvam Ita Santara Sukham. Another verse here is another translation. Cross the ocean of repeated birth and death and go to the beautiful land of Vrindavan. So outside of Vrindavan is an ocean called Bhavasagar. Delhi is Bhavasagar. Bombay is Delhi. Bhavasagar. Russia is Bhavasagar. Ukraine is Bhavasagar. America is Bhavasagar. France is Bhavasagar. Sagar. There's an ocean out there full of crocodiles and timangila fish and stingrays and sharks. Hammerhead sharks of Mayavadis swallow you right up. So go to the beautiful land of Vrindavan, which is paved with great Chintamani gems and filled with fragrant flower pollen and camphor dust, where the slightest touch uproots the six waves of material suffering. Actually, if you're observant and you live here long enough, you'll see that every Brijvasi, at a certain point, Vrindavan hits them. A newly arrived Brijvasi from somewhere, a Brajavasi, reminds me once I was in the little gully there going out to Banki Vihari to have darshan, and there's a famous Petawala. Anyway, these guys that sell these little brown sweets, we say para, but it's actually something else, peta. He was there, and I was coming regularly every day to buy garlands for Prabhupada, and then Kartik, I would collect money, because I didn't have any. I would present the idea to different devotees who would come for lunch, and I say, it's Kartik. I have this desire to distribute para to all the yatris as they do prikma around Radhadamodar, and there's thousands of them going every day. But I don't have any money. If you want to give me some, then I'll buy some today when I go buy flowers, and you come back and take Mahaprasad, and we can pass out at 4 o'clock when people start coming to Prikma. Sure, I'll give you 1,000 rupees, so this, that. So then I would go, we'd go together. Oftentimes I buy alone. They give me the money the day before. So then the Parawala once said, he said, you're Brajavasi. Brajavasi. I said, no, I'm this, that, the other thing. He said, no, you know, there's two. There's Brajavasi and the Brijvasi. I said, acha. He said, there's Brajavasi and Brijvasi. You're Brajavasi, I'm Brijvasi. I said, okay, well, that sounds, at least I'm in there somewhere. I'm somewhere between this and that. Somewhere between you and your para. I'm somewhere between me and all your thousands of kilos of para and wherever I am. So I said, "What? How so? What is this thing?" He said, "You're a Brajavasi because Braja, you have come from somewhere, America, and now you're living here. You're living in Braj, but Brajavasi. We are Brijvasi. Brijvasi means we're born here." That's how he described it. I don't know how to explain that according to the lexicon or the dictionary, but that was his idea. So the point I was saying is that when one has stayed here long enough as a Brajavasi or a Brijvasi, one will see in the Brijvasis, as the verse is telling us, the slightest touch with Vrindavan uproots the six waves of material suffering, such as lamentation, hankering, lamentation, illusion, old age. 1, 2, 3, 4, I guess they're all listed here. Lamentation, illusion, old age, death, hunger, and thirst. These are the six basic, there's 18 coverings of the living entity, but these are the six major ones. Old age, death, illusion, lamentation, hunger, and thirst. We're always disturbed by these. That's why they're called waves. Six waves of suffering. You go out on the ocean, you catch a wave, and you ride it. And you go out and catch a wave, you ride that wave, and one wave comes. Maybe if you're not catching waves, you're just getting knocked down by waves. Like, So these are the waves, and maybe those people that were tumbling under those waves felt they were suffering. And these are waves, because waves on the ocean are coming one after another. One wave and then another wave. They never stop. The waves of the ocean never stop, and they never stop crashing on the shore. And sometimes they come very big waves and crash the shore and crash the houses on the shore and crash the people on the shore and break down everything, destroy the whole island, kill everybody. So the waves of material suffering. Was he santara? What does he say here? I don't know what. Shad orminam nirmulam nirmulan kara satkrit sparshan lavam bhavabdim sri vrindavana bhuvam ita santara. I don't know how that comes, but these six sufferings are compared to waves, not just small little baby waves like in the Arabian Ocean in Bombay. But there are big time waves like Waimea Bay in Hawaii. It's 40 feet, what do you say, 20 meter high waves. 20 meters high, Waimea Bay. That's big. And I've seen photographs and I've seen movies of people riding those waves on surfboards. So these are the waves of material suffering. They come like tigers to eat us up. So they come like waves, forceful waves. So these waves, that's what these waves are like. Thirst is like a tidal wave. Hunger is like a tidal wave. Old age is like a tidal wave. Death is like a tidal wave. Lamentation is like a tidal wave. Illusion is like a tidal wave. These are the six waves. But when one comes to Vrindavan, then there's no more waves. Then it's rasa taranga. Bhakti rasa taranga. You ride the waves of bhakti ras. Sweet waves. Moment to moment. Relishing the bhakti ras. 61. Mahajyoti rupam ati vimala nana mani gatha. Chatabir vaichityam kimapi dadhatim nityam sukadam. Samanta Sri Radha Madhupati Padanke Sumadoram Smarama Sri Vrindavana Bhuvam Ananta Adbhuta Gunam Ananta Adbhuta Gunam. So unlimited, amazing qualities. Smarama. Sri Vrindavan is full of transcendental effulgence, extraordinarily pure and indescribably attractive due to the effulgence emanating from the gems there. Vrindavan is pleasing eternally and decorated with marks of Radha Krishna's lotus feet. When will I be able to remember the land of Vrindavan, which is filled with unlimited transcendental qualities? Smarama. 61. Let us meditate on the beautiful land of Vrindavan, splendid, full of limitless, wonderful virtues, wonderful with the effulgence of many glistening jewels, granting eternal bliss, and everywhere very sweet with Radha Madhupati's footprints. Mahajyoti rupam ati vimala nana mani gata. Mahajyoti, greatest effulgence, the form of the greatest effulgence. Ujvala nila mani. Sringar ras. Ati vimala. Chatabir vaichrityam, variegatedness, nityasukadam, gives eternal happiness, nityasukadham, that's always granting happiness, nityasuk. Krivabala amibaro dukhi, yeah. Amibaro, you're always suki, I'm dukhi. That's nice. 62. Pare shahanta sheshakila parama maha pragya durgyana sarvash chayananta prabhava bhagavati sahasor drim bitaikanta bhav sa jyotir basamana parama rasamayi turya turyati durya madhuryo gher mano me ramayati paramananda vrindavaniya. Oh, this most blissful land of Vrindavan is incomprehensible even to the most learned persons and to their masters. Hanta, hanta, esha hanta, hanta, hanta. Oh, oh, alas, alas, shesha akila. Paramamaha pragya durgyana sarvash. It's beyond their knowledge. Even the mahapragyas, the paramamahapragyas, those that have the, are deeply endowed with the deepest form of knowledge, that escapes them. Vrindavan, the understanding of the durgyan, the understanding of perception still is far beyond their idea. Vrindavan is the topmost spiritual truth and full of unlimited glories. Vrindavan gives immense pleasure to Krishna. Vrindavan is self-manifest and full of transcendental mellows. Vrindavan is completely transcendental and unique. By Vrindavan's sweet nectar, Vrindavan gives great happiness to my mind. Mano me ramayati. Turiya turiyati durya. Turiya turiyati durya. Parma rasamayi. Swajyotir vasaman. Na parma rasamayi. Turiya turiyati durya. The supremely blissful land of Vrindavan. Limitless, supremely wonderful splendor of which is beyond the understanding of the most intelligent persons. Vrindavan at once awakens unalloyed love for the Supreme Lord. Aikantabhav. Aikantabhav. Prabhav. Prabhav Bhagavati. Aikantabhav. Kantabhav. That must be what it's saying. Jim. Sahosor Jim Bitai Kantabhav. Kantabhav Madhurya Bhav. Gopi Bhav. Kantabhav means a lover's, conjugal lover's exchange is called Kantabhav. Prabhav, that manifests, that influence. Vrindavan is full of nectar, which is the most exalted of all transcendental abodes, with a flood of sweetness that delights my heart. Ramayati, Paramananda Vrindavananiya. Those are nice glorifications of Vrindavan. They say that the Guru Tattva and Shiva Tattva and Dham Tattva are the most difficult to understand. So this is Vrindavan. Even the Mahapragya Durgyan Sarvash, the greatest learned persons, they can't comprehend or understand Vrindavan. It's beyond the understanding of the most intelligent. It is the topmost spiritual truth. And full of unlimited glories. Vrindavan Parma Rasamayi. It gives great pleasure to the Lord. It's full of the topmost rasas. That's it for chapter 8 on the glories of Vrindavan. They're incomprehensible to me also. But we're just hearing about them to increase our gratitude and our appreciation.